And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode. We broadcast Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. And, of course, YouTube Live and Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking at our... We were able... And thanks to many of your support, we're able to now... get some, upgrade our camera system. And, they're currently working on that now as we speak. So by Monday for sure we'll be up. Who knows? Maybe even sooner. But, it's good stuff. Good stuff. I want to thank each and every one of you for your belief and your support in us. You know, it's really, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. It is, there's a war out there. Hey, Pizzagate. That'll come down off of Facebook and Twitter in a nanosecond. But you know, Facebook, they refuse to explain why that live video of attack, you know, when I'm talking about that special needs young man that was tortured by the four miscreant pieces of human debris in Chicago. And then sent out live via Facebook. You tell me why they left that up 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Yet Pizzagate isn't even allowed to go up or is taken down immediately. What kind of disgusting piece of crap is this company, Facebook? And you talk about disgusting crap. What kind of disgusting crap does that to a special needs kid? Did you see that story? I'm angry. I'm extremely angry. You've got a bunch of people out there, these people who apparently, you know, they're okay, or, you know, hey, we have to protect any accusations from pedophilia, but go ahead. You've got four blacks. I'm going to say that again. Four blacks tormenting a white. It's a hate crime. It's a race crime. And saying F Donald Trump and making him drink out of the toilet. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then get your head in the news, in the real news, not the fake news, not the wussified news that the mainstream media wants you to listen to, but the real news. There's a race war going on out there, and you better understand that we as whites are, and you know, you call me racist, but as far as I am concerned, the mainstream media in this case, not just dropped the ball, they dug a hole, put the ball in it, covered the ball up, took the shovel that they used to dig that hole, and buried the shovel. I'm going to tell you what, if this is my 18-year-old son, if this was my 18-year-old son, I'd be going out... How dare these people? How dare these people? How dare anyone refuse to recognize the black on white crime? How dare you Christians out there send me emails because I had Colin Flaherty on and we talked about his book, White Girl Bleed a Lot, and you as you Christians, so to speak, Christians, said, how dare you talk about that? How dare you talk about facts? Especially when it comes to when it implicates blacks or other than whites. This is a hate crime. It's a hate crime. And I'm going to tell you, these hate crimes are going to continue on and on and on and on and on, and it's only going to get worse. Because no one's got the balls to talk about it. No one's got the guts to say, look, this is not right. There's a problem here. There's black on black crime, black on white crime. I'm not being racist. I'm just looking at the statistics. And then we throw open the doors with people who are, and as Alex Jones said in a recent video, drug-resistant TB. What are these people thinking? Open the southern border. Allow these young kids in with drug-resistant TB, with actual leprosy, with all sorts of diseases. And Dennis, you can stop emailing me any time. Here's my question. What are we going to do about it? You see, you got these pukes, these pukes who throttle our numbers, who will come by and, you know, give a thumbs down because that's what they need to do. They live in this universe where they feel that they've got to tear down, take down, pull down, destroy anything, anyone, any person, any entity that wants to give the news, that wants to give the unfiltered, unvarnished news. This is what their mission in life is. And as far as I'm concerned, they, the accuser of the brethren, are nothing more than satanic minions. The sperm, the spawn of Satan. I'm going to tell you something. You don't like the way I'm talking? Change the channel, because we're doubling down in 2017. How dare people? How dare people come on and do nothing? Do nothing. They've got nothing on their resume except ripping people down that attempt to do the right thing, that attempt to speak the truth. What is your life so friggin' empty? Is that what you gotta do? Are you so intellectually bankrupt? That's what you've got to do? You've gotta take on Christians, other Christians, rip down other Christians? That's your legacy you're going to leave to your children. It's one thing to take on a pedophile. It's one thing to take on the globalist agenda of trying to rip down a country. Trying to rip down a population. It's another thing altogether to cause, to rip into the Christians out there. The spiritual bankruptcy I've seen to me is just beyond the pale. You know, I if I was an atheist, I'd be laughing at the Christians out there. I would. You guys can't get your act together. Oh, wait, you're holier than him. She's holier than her. Okay. No, hang on. Let me see if I follow this now. So, okay, you're gonna attack her, and then she's gonna attack him, and then you got all this chaos within the body. I see. Okay. Just keeping score here. Portions of Nice Broadcast brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. Folks, if you're looking to hire someone, posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. Let me direct your attention to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. More on that later. I had to do that because the next thing out of my mouth would have really been passionate. See, I'm not, you know, it's really not anger, it's passion. It saddens me to see so many people out there who are cannibalistic against others and Christians and such. It really is. When they feel they've got this truth and they don't. But see, what really bothers me more than anything is the collectively, I can see Christians being taken down by other Christians, but I can see this. And as Alex Jones said this, Romans 13 being used against Christians and being promoted, you know, it's just how dare some of these Christians go out there and to demand subjugation of their flock? How dare them to the government, to a government that's out of control? How dare them? You know, I don't get it. And for each and every one of you out there, you know, the flybys, I'm going to write this about him because I can't believe his rant. Okay, I'm going to downvote because, you know, just that, because that's what I do. And I don't care. I mean, seriously, it doesn't bother me because what bothers me is the social engineering that is going on. That's merely a downvote, a banning on Twitter or Facebook or whatever the social networking. That is more of a symptom of a larger issue, of whether it's censorship or whatever. That's more of a symptom. And I feel bad for those people who get some sort of, if you get paid for it, good, fantastic. You get paid for that, doing that? That to me, you know what? That's okay. that's okay. But if you're that person out there, that Christian that says, you know, I'm going to go to my Bible, I'm going to cite a verse, and because he said a curse, you know, curse word, or because of this or that, I'm going to go against him. Then to me, that is the problem. That's the bigger problem. That's where the spiritual, social, moral, intellectual bankruptcy comes in. And to you, I say, you can go straight to hell. And yes, I said that. As far as I'm concerned, and maybe I'm speaking carnally, you can go straight to hell. If I lose listeners over this, you know, I'm sorry. At some point, you've got to draw the line. You've got to draw the line, and you've got to look at what's important. You know, it's amazing to me, if you are in a foxhole and you've got bombs or mortars going off all around you. Okay, you're fighting for your life. Let's say you're trying to free a captive village from ISIS terrorists, and you got mortars flying around, and you look at the guy next to you, and you say, well, you're not wearing your backpack right. Are you kidding me? To me, that's analogous to what's taking place. If I was that guy, I'd be more worried about getting shot by the guy in the foxhole next to me. By me. But then that's just my opinion. And of course, all of this, just to be sure, just so everyone understands this, all of this is my opinion. Just in case. And this is America. I think we're allowed to have opinions, right? We're still allowed opinions. So this is my opinion. Eric just slipped a note to me. He said, you better bring John on. John Robertson, program director for the Hagman Report. Am I fired or what?
Folks, there you have it. Doug Hagman coming in on a Thursday night, coming in hot. Thank you so much for bringing me into the studio moments this evening, Doug. And you know, just by way of some quick housekeeping, a hot second of housekeeping. Folks, we had an incredible day today on the HagmanReport.com. And I want to draw all of the listeners' attention to HagmanReport.com because many of our independent contributors really stepped it up today and blessed us with a ton of new content. Now, Doug, as you know, our guest in Hour 2 and 3 this evening is Patrick Wood, author of Technocracy Rising and the founder and senior editor of Technocracy News. Now, Patrick blessed us with two articles today, and I am looking right now at one of them entitled "Leading Scholar Gets Leading Scholar Outs Global Elite In Game as Technocracy." Now, there are two articles at HagmanReport.com this evening, folks, that you can take a look at from Patrick Wood. Also, our economics go-to new guest to the Hagman and Hagman Report, Stephen Minking, he joined us in early October, wrote a great little piece about Bitcoin and precious metals and just kind of covering the waterfront forecast of what we can expect in 2017. Again, that's by Stephen Minking up on HagmanReport.com. And lastly, my piece, Doug, which is called Optical Dissonance and Fake News Deception. And this is what I wanted to discuss with you this evening, Doug, because what I believe is really since 9/11, but it's been tuned up to 11 since the incident at Bundy Ranch back in April of 2014. What we are as consumers of news and information, what we are beginning to deal with, the conundrum that we find ourselves in, and it's been amplified by this fake news versus real news debate, which I've almost put debate in finger quotes, Doug, because to me it's ludicrous. I'm amazed that people even buy it.
No,
but,
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I want to start off with tonight, and again, this comes from the article I just posted moments ago up on HagmanReport.com. And again, folks, that article is called Optical Dissonance and Fake News Deception. And it's interesting, Doug, that you would make the allusion you did a moment ago about being in a foxhole in a battle space type environment, because what I want to lead off with tonight is a sentence that I wrote in the article, and it simply says this. Folks, history shows us that disposition often yields profoundly positive repositioning. I'm going to say that again. History shows us that disposition often yields profoundly positive repositioning. And, Doug, the example that I drew from was the Battle of the Bulge, the big German mechanized offensive toward the end of World War II. It was actually Christmas 1944. And if you look at the article there on HagmanReport.com, folks, there is a map of what the Battle of the Bulge looked like. And essentially, long story short, the Germans launched a surprise attack through the Ardennes Forest in December of 44 and drove about 55, 60 miles through the Allied lines. And ultimately, they were trying to get to the Belgian port of Antwerp. They did not make it, but they punched a huge salient into the Allied front lines, a big bulge, thus the name. And there's an interesting quote, Doug, from the Supreme Commander of Allied Expeditionary Forces, of course, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. He took it in stride, to say the least, and he said, quote, "Now that they have come out of hiding, we can effectively annihilate them." Optical dissonance is a term that I cooked up recently. And what it means, folks, it means the difference between what you're looking at and what you're seeing.
A very important distinction, by the way, John, and thank you for bringing that up. And by the way, folks, HagmanReport.com, excellent article. John, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Doug. Yeah, and what I want to touch on tonight is really twofold. Number one, folks, the measure of the difference between what you are looking at versus what you are seeing, I believe that therein lies the truth. And each of you, and I encourage you to think about this, and again, it's in the article, I said, you know, if we were all seated around the Hagman kitchen table, I bet each of us, Doug, would have a different example of what used to be called footage, but of course now that we're in the digital age, the term has really become optics, that we all have seen things in just the past few years, Doug, that we're looking at them, and our eyes are processing what we're seeing, but our minds and our spirits, and especially for the Christian remnant, our spirit of discernment is just saying, look, I don't buy it. And I included, yep. It's funny, yep. I included as a couple images in the article, the camera that's in black and white up on a huge boom crane in downtown Los Angeles. Oddly enough, I shot that picture, Doug, and that's from a ZipRecruiter commercial that I did about 18 months ago.
Wait, you didn't tell me that.
I got to leave a few things out.
Oh, man. Okay.
That's I did a ZipRecruiter commercial. They were great people, awesome client. It was a fantastic commercial. And then there's also another picture that I took from a series of commercials I did for the toys that complemented the new Star Wars. Not Rogue One, but the one that came out prior to that. And again, that was a set that I was on. I was part of a series of commercials for Star Wars and also for X-Men. And I chose a picture of a couple of the child actors and R2-D2 standing in front of green screens. And if you look closely at that image, folks, you'll note that aside from the what we call 4x floppies, which are diffusion, and the green screen itself, and you can see camera people, and it's a pretty cool picture. But if you look in the background, you'll see that it's clearly Los Angeles. There's palm trees everywhere, and the sun is setting over the Pacific. So I included that picture as a visual representation to suggest this, and I'm sure Tech Eric would give us a tip of the hat on this one. What you see is not necessarily what is real. And folks, those of you who have been with the show for a while may recall that Joe and I did a couple, I think it was a couple of hours back in June, and we talked about the optics of the Orlando nightclub shooting. Now, I'm not going to get into that tonight, Doug, but if you go back and take a look at that show, I think it was early June, and it is linked in the show description for this evening. Joe and I just used my Hollywood background and the way that I was trained by all the major studios, primarily Disney and Warner Brothers, to analyze what we were seeing and what made sense and what didn't make sense. And in the case of the Orlando shooting, there were so many things that just don't work. And you know, one of my Hollywood sort of templates that I use to define these things is, if I'm looking at something that's supposedly real news, Doug, and I immediately say we would never make those mistakes in Hollywood, then where there's smoke, there's fire. So again, I go back to what I would almost consider the thesis for tonight, which is simply this. History shows us that disposition often yields profoundly positive repositioning. And what I'm going to suggest to all the listeners tonight is that we are, number one, we are literally in a fight for our lives right now. And folks, that's why Doug came in so hot tonight, because we are, I would say from my perspective, at the Hagman and Hagman Report, we are holding the line. Okay, there's no battle of the bulge going on here. They have not punched through our main battle line, but they're trying, and they're trying every day, and frankly, most of their attempts at this point, Doug, I'm sure you would agree, are pathetic.
You know, okay, and I do, you had sent me, for a different reason, but you had sent me a clip of Alex Jones, 15-minute clip of Alex Jones kind of going off, and at least it was like 7 o'clock, yeah. 7:30, okay, that night he went off. I don't know how many people know about this. But he made some references in there. If you look, you can't really. I'll just say this: there are things that he didn't say there in that video, that he couldn't say. Okay, I know that. The fight that's being waged is pathetic indeed. But here's the problem: even though it's pathetic, it's time consuming, it's energy draining,
and it's
expensive. That's right. And people have got no clue. But, you know, but you know what, though? It is, but they're not going to win in the end. And either, go ahead. I'm not going to take you off track, but that's right. They cannot win.
They can't. Because, and I'm just going to, I am tempted, but for expediency's sake, I cannot go into detail with analyzing some of the incidents that I mentioned in the article, and I just chose, Doug, the ones that I think are the most pronounced and that really just kind of smacked us all across the nose with their stupidity. I put, you know, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Boston Marathon, and I also included last night's story out of Chicago. Now, we'll touch on that in a moment. But I want to ask each of the listeners to think about this for a moment. If you watched that unbelievable moment. Now, Doug, when we had our meeting this morning, I mentioned to you, I'm too young to remember the Black Panthers, and they're, you know, I've seen pictures of them with the firearms out on the steps of the Oakland City Hall and the federal courthouse, and I know these things went down, but it's a little before my time. I was probably 1 or 2 years old when that happened. But
I did
see the standoff that Saturday afternoon at Bundy Ranch, and I'll tell you something by way of a little inside baseball. My friend and one of our previous advertisers, Chance, with American Survival Wholesale, he had some people that he knew on the ground there at Bunkerville. And so I actually, Doug, knew about 90 minutes before they went to get the cattle that they were going to do so. And I mentioned that, folks, because I wanted to share this kind of with you on a personal note, because it was the first time in my life. I remember sitting there in a cafe. I was drinking coffee, and my hand started to shake a little bit because I realized that we're not in Kansas anymore. I just got off the phone with somebody who just got off the phone with Stuart Rhodes, who told me what's going to break across mainstream media, and it in fact broke about 2 hours later. Now, here's the important part. Those of you who witnessed this, especially in real time, may recall that it broke where? On InfoWars. How? Because David Knight and the people that he was with, I'm sorry, Doug, I cannot remember the camera operator's name, they were able to create a Ustream. In fact, they created three of them. And I know, yep. I remember the one that I was on had, I think it was 900,000 viewers. It was insane. It was close to a million.
Yeah.
So they created a Ustream. And, of course, now we have Periscope also. And, folks, for those of you who aren't super tech-savvy like myself, and dare I say, Doug, like you as well, Periscope and Ustream are both very simple apps that you can download onto your iPhone or your Droid that enable you to stream in real time. So whatever you're recording, whatever you're pointing your smartphone at, is literally going up into the cloud and out to the world, whoever may be on your Ustream or your Periscope at the time. So it is a fail-safe method for doing what? For bringing real news to people like everybody listening tonight who demands real news. You see, here's the thing, folks. I can sit here and I could talk for the next 3 hours about how Hollywood trains us to deceive you, and we're really good at it. And the sad thing is, all of you have paid us enormous amounts of money over the years to deceive you. And we utilize every penny to do just
John,
that.
Hang on to that thought, man. Hang on to that thought. Imagine that. Everyone. Hollywood's getting paid enormous amounts of money to deceive all of us. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's John's next segment. It's all John because he's got a lot of great stuff to say. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. Read his latest article. Read all of the latest articles by our contributors. My goodness, we've got some great contributors. And I got to thank John for his great article. Folks, read that, because that's the theme for the next segment. Stay with us. You know, we've got a very good God that looks over us. Don't we, folks? We really do. And we have, the Hagman Report is blessed to have number one, the best listening audience in the world. I would do anything seriously for the listeners of this broadcast. I feel like we know you. I mean, I feel like there's a bond there. I really do. And it's, that sounds corny, but, that's the way I feel. And, you know, I know we have a chat running, with our YouTube, channel. I want to thank the moderators for that chat for their you talk about a thankless job. My goodness. Thank you for all you do. JD in the South, and then the Southern, front. I want to thank you for what you do. Jackie and Eric up here and Joe up here in the trenches. Thank you all. And of course, John in the West. A big thank you as our program director. John, I'm going to turn it back to you, sir.
Thank you so much. And again, just by way of a quick moment of housekeeping, I just want to amplify what Doug just said about our chat and our moderators. You know, if you folks haven't had an opportunity, go back to Monday's show, I believe it was, or was it last Friday? I'm getting confused now. We had Pastor Paul Bagley on recently. And he just really dropped the hammer about a lot of what we're talking about tonight. But the reason I bring up Paul Bagley's recent visit with us is because our chat was blessed with a huge group of Paul Bagley's people. And they came over, and I not only saw this in the chat, but I received multiple emails after the fact really complimenting and pouring accolades on our moderators in the chat. Because the bottom line is this. They keep the chat what chat rooms were designed to be, a place for opposing opinion to be vetted and aired out, disseminated intelligently and through a biblical perspective. But we do get an incredible amount of trolls. There are just some straight-up crazy people that punch in. And sometimes they just punch in, Doug, I'm sure you've seen it, with just slews of profanity, basically disjointed, sure. like a disjointed profane crybaby. And our moderators punch them out quickly, but I would be remiss if I also didn't mention that the moderators do allow people to hang in who are not afraid to offer opposing viewpoints. And I think that the tilt point, Doug, at least from what I've experienced, is when it becomes derisive, either toward the host or the guests or toward our Savior, Jesus Christ, or when it becomes when contrarian sort of crosses that fulcrum to antagonist. That's when you get the boot. So, yeah, tip of the hat to our moderators. And again, I want to mention also, folks, there are two pieces at HagmanReport.com that I pinned. I write the show write-up every day. And the title of this evening's show is Neo-Technocracy and Optical Dissonance. That is not the article that I'm referring to with my remarks. However, they complement one another. And I mention that because if you look on the show write-up, folks, there's a sentence that reads, "The point is, there is a ball of confusion wound around citizen journalism, mainstream media narratives, and the optics that purport to demonstrate both." Citizen journalism and mainstream media narratives are links. And what they link to, Doug, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this, they link to two videos that demonstrate perfectly what I'm talking about with the proper dissemination and broadcast of real news, often in real time, versus the mainstream media intelligence agencies, DC concoctions of narrative that then follow. And those two links, folks, will take you directly to, first of all, the helicopter footage released by the FBI of the straight-up government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded assassination of Lavoie Finicum. The man was unarmed, driving to meet a county sheriff in the adjacent county to air his grievances, to have a discussion, to figure out how do we operate lawfully and within the legal framework of the law to mitigate the grievances that the ranchers at the Malheur Reservation in Oregon had early last year. The second link shows the citizen journalist point of view, which was shot by that 18-year-old young woman, Doug, inside the truck. And that tells an entirely different story. Not that the FBI story looked good, but when you see what was going on inside that truck, it is horrific. And, Doug, I want to bounce this off you. When you first saw that video that came out a few days later, shot by the young lady that was inside Lavoie Finicum's truck, well, I'll just tell you how I felt, and then I'll bounce it to you. I was angry, and that anger was replaced with extreme incredulity because I couldn't believe. I thought that the country would rise up. They gunned that man down. And they proceeded to put how many rounds, Doug? 130 into that truck. And what does that mean? That means that they intended to gun all of them down. It's only because Dodge builds a good truck that those people are still breathing. Doug, what was your take on that?
You know what? I was upset in equal measure against the agents that fired their weapons in that manner. And I was equally upset with the people who immediately, not knowing or not seeing, or even in spite of seeing that second video, regardless, saying, well, they asked for it, or they deserved it, or it's as if the... I try to look at it as if it was my father, my brother, someone close to me, you know, my family. Would I want or expect this to happen? And the bottom line is no. So I was angry both at the federal agents, and I've worked with federal agents, you know, and we've had conversations over coffee. Hey, you know, what's your closest call? Have you fired your gun? Have you killed anybody? And everyone I've talked to said, no, thankfully, no, I've not. I've not had to, you know, even come close to shooting anyone. Yet these people seem to take pride in that. It's a different breed of officer out there, in some cases. Now that's not to indict all federal and state and local officers. However, there is this seemingly, big chasm between the old school and what they're bringing in now sometimes, but anger doesn't even begin to describe it. But I'm equally angry at the people, the so-called Christian conservatives who said, well, that wasn't, they shouldn't have been where they were and such, not knowing the story. I don't know if that answers your question, but
well, it certainly does, and like many good questions, it spawns many others. But I want to use that, Doug, as a segue into something we discussed in our morning meeting earlier today, afternoon meeting for you. So I want to explain to the listeners this evening how I personally garnered my news when Ferguson popped the first time around. Now, quick story, long story short, I was working on a Universal production at the time called State of Affairs with Katherine Heigl. It was a short-lived show, and I was actually in a production vehicle when my iPhone alert went off and Drudge Report posted that the Ferguson verdict was in. And I will never forget this. I got home, and I had a couple of computers up, and I watched a split screen of the jihadi-in-chief, Barry Satoru, in split screen, basically articulating a message that was supposedly, let's remain peaceful, but there are legitimate grievances, and at the same time, tear gas canisters were flying and buildings were going up in flames in real time. And at that moment, Doug, my training from when I was with the I was with an investigative firm for a brief time in the early 90s, kicked in. And so this is what I did, and this is what I want to use to illustrate to the listeners tonight how much power every single person listening to this conversation truly has. Folks, the night Ferguson popped, I sat in my apartment in Pasadena. And on one computer, I had a Ustream that was provided by somebody's cell phone in real time from Ferguson. And on another computer, I had a repeater that had multiple scanner channels up. But the one I was listening to was the Ferguson Police Department. And at that night, they were partnered with the state police, what they call command. And Doug, you know, I know you've been around law enforcement. Folks, when they have big incidents like this, they break their assets up into multiple departments, a lot like the military does. You've got tactical, transport, command, et cetera, admin. And this is how they keep everything straight. So I was listening to the command frequency on the scanner, which is basically the generals and the colonels telling the troops what to do. So folks, by having a very cursory understanding of what they call the 10 codes, and I'm sure many of the listeners know what they are, but you can do a search on Google. Just, you know, it's where 10-4 comes from or 10-20. These are the codes that law enforcement and emergency service personnel use to describe what they're looking at. And then there are other numeric codes. And once you know, Doug, of course, once you know a couple dozen of those, you can listen to police chatter, not with complete fluency, but reasonably well, at least enough to understand what's going on. So consider this, folks. I was watching a citizen journalist stream the conflagrations in the businesses, the Oath Keepers standing guard, the National Guard standing down. They were present, but they were standing down under orders. I was watching that in real time while listening in real time to the law enforcement, the different departments talk back and forth with one another. That is real news. There is no filter to that whatsoever except the filter of my own mind and my discernment. And of course that requires conscientious integrity on the part of all of us. But it's incredibly powerful. And Doug, I want to ask you this. I know that you've stood as an expert witness in many court cases, many of them criminal, if I understand correctly, most of them civil, but with criminal implications. Doug, can you imagine how different your career trajectory and your profession would have been 20 years ago if folks had iPhones and they had the capability of Ustream or Periscope to bring into court what went down in real time?
Even 5 years ago, I mean, it's an amazing thing to think about.
It really is. And this is what I want to encourage. Doug, you have said many times over the course of the last, I'd say, maybe 6 weeks, that the digital media platforms, the frontline media, that's what I like to call it, we must stick together. And we must. And that's why we are strengthening our bonds with Sean at SGT, Dave, who was our guest last night from X22 Report, Daniel List, the dark journalist, Brittany Pettibone, yep, Tara, Andrew Kerr. Tomorrow night we're going to introduce a new citizen journalist to you folks. It's going to be a great guest. Hour three, Josh Kaplan, the founder and the senior editor of VesselNews.io out of Montreal. Now, why do I bring up Josh? Josh curates news, much like Drudge Report, folks. He has software that monitors close to 1,000 news feeds and refreshes every 3 seconds. So he is on point for breaking news, and he's indicated this to me and emphasized it repeatedly. He does not look for a political ideology or a political slant. He looks for breaking news. That's his number one criteria. And, Doug, I mentioned this to you in one of our recent meetings. Josh Kaplan, again, third-hour guest tomorrow night, folks, on the Hagman & Hagman Report, he is incurring incredible blowback as a news aggregator. He's not writing articles. He's not out shooting stuff with his iPhone. He's just pasting it all together on his website. He has been shadow banned from Twitter. He's had many threats made to him and to both his family and he for their basic safety. And he's had a lot of his efforts demonetized. So, folks, please understand when Doug and I talk about this, I'm sure Patrick Wood will have something to say about it, too, and many of our guests lately have. This is not a joke. It's not a minor issue. It is one of the big, big deals that we have had to deal with since the Hagmann and Hagmann report first launched. So this is where we're at. Again, I go back to that sentence I shared at the opening of my remarks. History shows us that disposition often yields profoundly positive repositioning. What did Eisenhower say? He said, now that they've come out of hiding, we can effectively annihilate them. So, Doug, I will ask you this. Have we not seen in the post-November 8 era the mainstream media essentially come out of hiding? They've ripped off their faces and shown themselves to be the lizards they are. So what do? I say we take a cue from Ike. Now that they've come out of hiding, we can effectively annihilate them. How do we do that? Through rants and discourse? Well, that part's fun, but frankly, folks, the way we do it is every single one of you has got to get involved. And how do you do it? It's real simple. When you see something that appears newsworthy, you've got the tool in your purse or your back pocket. Whip it out, swipe your finger a couple times, and make it happen. Because you are literally, every single one of you, I don't care what state you're tuning in from, what city, or what country, you are the vanguard that can not only serve as the bulwark against this fake news pushback, this garbage that was probably cooked up by the Podesta camp to cover their own crimes, but that's a different show for another time. I am saying to every single one of you tonight, from 18 years in Hollywood, 16 years working for the big studios, you have the power. You carry it in your back pocket every day, but you've got to use it, and then you've got to get that material to platforms like the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, True News, InfoWars, The Common Sense Show, The Manning Report.
Yep.
Doug?
Yep. No. Did you just... No, I mean...
I just handed it to you. That was what you call a soft pitch.
Okay. Sorry. Slow on the uptake there for a moment. No, you're right. We each one of us, whether you're a Christian, a conservative Christian, it doesn't matter. We all have that capability right now to make changes. And, we none of us should be afraid to do that, and none of us should be afraid not to stand down in the face of that. We need to take care of business. Really. And you know, like you, I really like your article, and I like what you had written, because oftentimes what you see on the corporate media is just within that capture of the green screen, for example, and not the entire picture. So,
well, Doug, let's. I mean, you and I are. You know, we've both been around for for a few decades. Let me ask you this, just on a personal level, purely anecdotally, wouldn't you agree that over the past, let's call it what? Let's just say the last 3-4 years. I can barely watch TV anymore. I get most of my information online, but a lot of it, of course, is uploaded, you know, content from TV. I've never seen anything like this before. The presidential election, the whole Hillary thing, the news anchor that was supposedly gunned down last year, I believe it was in Atlanta. All the questions surrounding Sandy Hook. I mean, Doug, is it just me, or have we gone completely into Crazy Town USA?
No, it's not just you. It's everybody. We're all looking at different. We're all looking at the same thing, different sets of eyes, and that's important, by the way. But we're all seeing the fact that there's something wrong here. There's manipulation being done with just about everything that we see, and you know it amazes me, John. Just as a kind of a side note, and this is why I'm angry. I'm angry because the people who control the switches. Whether it be Facebook, Twitter, or any of the corporate media moguls, and even their stooges that sit in there, Megyn Kelly, for example. Look at that.
Back to the lizard people.
Exactly. You know, I mean, come on, man. We need to stand up. We need to say no more. And if we don't do, see, here's the thing. If we don't do what we need to do right now, we're not going to have another chance. I'm convinced of that. We're not going to have another chance. And the people who are out there that are just, you know, making life miserable, or, you know, whatever they think they're doing to create their own little puny legacy in their puny skulls. Okay. But adding nothing to the,
On my puny legacy. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm talking about the people that go after, that you know, go after Jones, go after Rick Wiles, go after us, go after everyone. It seems to me that, like, okay, look, we're doing our level best. Okay. We're trying in every day, we're trying to bring the news out there, and I'm not trying to give this is not a sales pitch. It's just the way it is, and sometimes when people either refuse to see it, can't see it, or are influenced by this optical dissonance that you speak of, it makes me duped.
And folks, let me be clear. First of all, just so you know what's coming up in 2017, JD, Joe Hagman, and myself are all going to be going to truck driving school. So that's the plan. I haven't discussed this with Joe, but of course JD's not into it.
Or Doug, actually.
We're gonna go work at the lumberyard. But before that, here's the bottom line, folks. And I've got a few moments left with you this evening. This is what we need to do. Ever since I first joined the Hagman Report, you know, as a caller and then ultimately a guest many years ago. Now, one of my exhortations to you folks has always been to look at the problems, but then look at the solutions. And most of the shows that the Lord has blessed me to bring in on this platform and others, I've always tried to find that balance. I've prayed over it. I've sought counsel from many other men and women around our campfire. It's not good enough at this point to just be finally attenuated to and aware of and even able to articulate with great profundity the problems. That's not good enough. That's 2012. That's 2013. This is 2017. We are in arguably the most dangerous time geopolitically, economically, and I know my main man JD would say spiritually.
Sure.
Of not only our lifetimes, but perhaps of modern humanity. So what do? This is the bottom line. Each of you carries the power in your hearts and in your back pocket or your purse. Get that phone out and get the real news up into the cloud where it cannot be manipulated, squashed, deleted, etc. Now, I also want to add as a cautionary note, folks, don't become obnoxious, okay? It's not about if you see something, say something. Don't start shooting your neighbor because his dog comes over and poops on your lawn. I mean, if that's what you need to do, I guess that's fine, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about real news events. And I'm sure many people that can hear my voice right now have found themselves in multiple real news events. I know personally I've been in dozens in my life. Your capability with simply keeping a charged phone and a willingness to document, you don't have to worry about contextualizing it or writing a brilliant article or going to journalism school. All you need is your First Amendment right and your smartphone. That's it. Get it in the cloud so that the powers that be cannot delete it or squash it, and then get it to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Get it to Ed Zoll over at True News. Get it to John B. Wells' people.
Right.
And that is the first step, in my opinion, Doug, that we need to take. And I want to emphasize, I'm not suggesting that people become obnoxious badgerers of their neighbors, their kids' teachers, etc. There is judgment and discretion to be used here. When you see a car on fire in the Walmart parking lot, that's news. When you see a couple fighting in the Walmart parking lot, that's personal business. Leave them alone. Unless it, of course, you know, becomes a physical issue. So that's my overall message for the listeners tonight, is just to involve yourselves and understand this. I put this out in an article last week, and I want to reiterate it tonight. I invited Hagman listeners to email the studio with your, I don't want to say predictions, but with your insight as to where we're headed in 2017. Shoot them over to Jackie, put 2017 in the subject line. Those emails will ultimately come to me. We will disseminate the information. We will vet it if necessary, provided what you submit is up to par and it's not just sort of bizarre conjecture. What I intend to do, and Doug, you and I discuss this, I'm going to frame it up into an article that we can all celebrate, okay? I'll be the person putting the words on the page, but this is an opportunity for Hagman listeners all over the world to contact us and get your view on the record for the next 12 months. So So this is what you need to do. Number one, you need to become a citizen journalist. You know what makes Brittany Pettibone and Tara and Andrew Kerr and Josh Kaplan citizen journalists? They do it. That's all. They do it. They all have notably different backgrounds, but they do it. And
they,
the more you do it,
do
the better you get.
That's right.
Exactly. Suit up and show up. So, folks, here's my parting thought for tonight. And, Doug, thank you so much for bringing me on for a bit.
Sure, man.
Get involved. Realize that you are a news conduit. You, every single one of you, can do exactly what Doug and Joe and myself and JD and Rick Wiles and JB Wells and Dave Hodges, we're all the same. All of us have completely varied backgrounds, private investigations, Hollywood, a basketball coach, football coach, a photography assist. I mean, we come from all different walks of life, but we have one thing in common. We are dedicated to disseminating the truth to the best of our ability, vetting it to the best of our resources, because we understand that this is a crucial time, not just in our personal lives, but for our progeny, and also in the history of humanity. And I will make this my final remark for this evening. Folks, you may believe in Jesus Christ and you may not, but I can guarantee you this, you are going to meet him, and you will give account. And I'll tell you, I've done some rotten things in my day. Thank God for the blood of Christ. But you know what? When that accounting occurs, I cannot look at my Savior and hang my head and say, when it came to defending the defenseless, when it came to blaring about Pizzagate, when it came to pushing back against Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, when it came to finding brothers to stand with me and then standing with them regardless of the blowback, I can't stand on that day of accounting, Doug, and hang my head and say, well, I was scared, or I didn't have enough money in the bank, or I didn't have press credentials. I didn't go to a journalism school, so sorry. You know, I can't do that. And folks, everybody listening to the show tonight, you can't do it either. So I'm calling muster tonight. Get involved. Shoot footage. Make your presence known, because you are the vanguard against what they are projecting upon us, this whole fake news meme. It's ludicrous. And also, folks, I just want to say personally, thank you very much to those of you who helped us out over the past couple of days. Doug, you and I have not discussed financials, but I do know that Eric did get a piece of new equipment today. Praise God for that. I just want to thank all of the listeners this evening for whatever level of participation made that happen.
Well, thank you. And I'm just going for the record number of mortgages on any single piece of property out there. So, all right.
All right, Doug, thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. God
bless
you, John.
Have a great show with Patrick. Take care.
All right. Folks, that was John, our program director, and he's just such a blessing, really, for all of us. And you can see his work. My goodness, you can see. And I think we're making great strides. 2017, we're doubling down in 2017. We're all in 2017. We are, we're going to fight the fight, and we are going to prevail, obviously. We are, you know, it's one thing. Is God on our side? Are we on God's side? We have to make sure both of those are in balance, but righteously going forth and making a difference where it counts. Calling it like it is, not like it appears to be, not sure, but looks like this. No, calling it like it is when we can do that. Or having it just bringing the information to you in its rawest form. Folks, we're going to be right back with Patrick Wood. Stay right where you're at.